Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McCoy. Welcome to I'm Ready for Me. I am ecstatic that you are taking this time for you and your business. And this year will be like no other. We are going to totally astound ourselves in 2015. We are almost into the last quarter, so we really need to push a little harder to make sure we get the results that we want. But as you know, I'm Ready for Me is a philosophy about living your life expertly as a skilled, well-trained, and thoughtful person. And it doesn't, you know, the fact that your life doesn't just have to happen to you, that you can learn and use success strategies and systems that can consciously enrich your life. Those are the choices that you make about your health, your wealth, yourself. And the result is a bolder and more dynamic life if you choose to go that way. And the process begins with discovering and focusing on what you envision for all areas of your life, not just one, because that's something that we can easily do. We can easily overwork one area of our life, like one muscle, and be out of balance. So, you know, you want to expand your horizons fearlessly and use these strategies. And so, you know, the question is, what's holding you back? What are you waiting for? And it's not, like I said, about one area of your life. I'm ecstatic. The I'm ecstatic model is about taking the journey with you so that you can go into all parts of your life. So take a look at the like button at the upper left-hand corner, and let's get started. So today we're going to talk about three strategies to increase your new client enrollment. We all wish we had more clients, and to be honest, wishing is not a very good strategy. But I'm going to give you three strategies that will work. And the first one has to do with taking a look at whether you're doing sales or relationship marketing. Sales are hard. Okay, but relationship marketing is much easier because both you and the client win. Next, do you have dread objections when you think you're on a roll and all of a sudden the person goes, but what about, or I can't? Well, you shouldn't, because we're going to discuss how objections are really opportunities and how you can cover them even before you talk with the client and then when they're right in front of you. And lastly, you know, once you've got that client in front of you, do you have trouble enrolling them? Okay, so we're going to talk about a process that works and how this happens. And as you pull together all three of these, you're going to up your client enrollment, okay? And the good news is, if you've been doing this for a while, you probably only have to make a few tweaks and add a little something to the system that you've got to make this work. So the first thing I just want to say is I cannot believe that the year has gone away this fast. I mean, it has been a year of all kinds of things. And now that we're in the fall, I don't know where the summer went. I have to be really honest with you. I don't feel like I got a summer this year. There was just so much going on, and very little of it was relaxing and summertime-ish. And now it's September, and I'm in Philadelphia, so the whole thing with the Pope has been pretty overwhelming, and you know, I'm kind of glad that things are going to settle down, but I'm also amazed that this week is going to be the first week of October. I mean, where did the other 9 months go? And so I think it's really a good time to say, what can I still get accomplished before the year is over? How many more new clients can I enroll? What can I do differently so that I finish 2015 in an upswing, and that 2016 is going to be great. So let's talk about new client enrollment. And I think for a lot of us, we think about it as selling. And, you know, it has taken me a really long time to get to a place that I'm comfortable, because, you know, we kind of start with that place of please buy this, you know, I need the money, I have bills, you know, that kind of thing. And we gradually move to this place of, I think I can help you. But even that approach is lacking, okay? It really does not tap very deeply into the need of the client. And so there's a much better way to do this. There's an easier way. And the good news is that if you've been working with clients, you probably, like I said, have a lot of the pieces that you need, and you just need to, you know, do a little bit more of this or a little less of this and put together a system that's going to work for you. So this is what we're going to learn today. We're going to talk about sales versus relationship marketing, which is a huge thing. We're going to talk about overcoming objections, which is something that we all, usually dislike. And then we're going to actually talk about client enrollment. And as usual, we're going to get an assignment and an action plan. So I want to give you kind of a little bit of an idea where I came from. But I don't know about you, but, you know, I used to hate sales because it was so salesy. No one in my family ever was in sales except for selling Girl Scout cookies. And I was a top seller until my sister joined the troop, and I had to split the sales that my father made. Because actually, my father made most of the sales, I have to be honest. And he had a very simple process. He would open a box of cookies and put them on his desk, and he would offer one to people as they went by. If they wanted another one, they had to buy a box. And when you think about it, it was a really simple way to do it, but this was really, he really put the know, like, and trust principle of selling into play. They knew him, okay, from working with him, and by getting a sample, they found out what they liked, okay, and of course they trusted the Girl Scouts and my dad, so people were more than willing to buy cookies, okay. I was not very good at going to the door-to-door, here, buy my cookie kind of thing. Then when I was in graduate school, I ended up with a sales job in a department store, and I was in the costume jewelry counter. And when I started, I really hated it because some of the stuff that they had was really awful, especially the stuff that was on sale. This was the costume jewelry that nobody wanted at regular price, and now they had discounted it several times, and people were, you know, it was still there. So it just goes to show you how awful it really was. And you know, I didn't want to be the sales lady that tells you you look great in everything regardless of, you know, how you look. Like the lady says, hon, you look great in that purple polka-dotted dress, right? And so I had to find a way to make it work because I really felt, you know, I felt like I was lying to people, right? And so when people, it started with when people asked me what I thought, I would ask them, how did they see themselves wearing the piece? And that way I figured I didn't have to tell them what I really thought, right? And then I learned that by doing that, they could say, well, I want this piece, you know, to do this, or I want this as a gift or whatever. And so then I was in a position where I really could help them with what they wanted. I could tell them, for instance, that brooch was too, you know, they say, well, I want to wear this on my silk blouse. And I would say, well, that brooch is way too heavy for a silk blouse. It's going to put holes and, you know, pull the fabric. It's much better on a jacket. You know, where they would say, I want this for my mom. And I'd say, can your mom, you know, how are her hands? Can she handle that clasp? Is that going to be hard for her to do? Would you do better with a chain that she could just put over her head? And the irony of the whole thing was, by the time I had, you know, after a while, people used to come to the costume jewelry counter and asked for me, is Yvonne working today? I need to pick out a gift. I mean, it was, I just found it really bizarre. But the point of it was, I was helping them to get what they needed. Okay, it was not about me. It was helping them get what they needed. And I think that that's a really good, you know, was a really good shift for me. And if you take a look at your life personally and you look at the experiences that you have, wouldn't you rather have somebody who really is listening to what you want than somebody who's trying to push something on you that may not be what you need? I mean, I would much rather have a person tell me, I don't carry this product or my product won't do that, because now I can trust them when there's something they have that I want. So that is kind of the beginning of relationship marketing, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today because it is a big difference, okay? Relationship marketing is all about developing a good line of communication with your customer or your client. And it's basically a situation where you both win. And what it does is it builds trust. You build trust with each other. And this can really help when it comes to selling a service or asking for a sale. Okay? So who do you normally buy from? The person you know, like, and trust, or the person who has the cheapest prices? Well, you know, again, it kind of depends on what you're doing, right, what you're buying. I mean, if you're buying something you can get in the dollar store, then hey, right? But if you're buying something that's a higher ticket price, you want to buy it from somebody you know, like, and trust. And a lot of times people are willing to pay a little bit extra to buy from that person that you trust more than just the cheapest price, okay? Even in terms of things like eBay, there are certain stores that I follow because, you know, I always get good items from them. I may have a certain brand. I can look for that brand all over the whole store, all over all of eBay. But if it's just a little bit difference in price, you know, then I'll go with the store that I trust. So as a business owner, the more solid relationships that you develop, the more business and the more referrals you'll get. And that's important, too, because one of the great things about referrals is that the person that refers them has already started building the business for you. They've already started building the trust, okay? So do you know that research has shown that it is more expensive to keep finding new customers than retaining current ones? And so that's definitely one thing that relationship marketing does for a business is it helps you to keep your clients because you're always trying to see what's going on with them and what's happening, okay? It makes sense to work on keeping your customers happy, and then when you run a sale or have a new product coming out, you know, you have eager buyers that are willing to snap it up, okay? You have people that are willing to tell other people. When you're selling, when selling is your main goal, and that is just to get the sale, it may not matter to you if you achieve this. Your main concern is only that, you know, your potential, you know, that you want to see how much cash you can bring in that day. And while there are times when you need to do that for sure in your business, and it will bring you more immediate success, it's not going to help you to retain your customers. It may not even make your customers happy by only focusing on the sale, all right? Someone who is, you know, if you're only out for yourself and not for the customer, you know, this is not going to work for you in the long run. And, you know, as you see, there's a lot, you know, with relationship marketing, there's a lot more work that has to go in. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while to build those relationships. But it can double or triple your bottom line when it's done correctly. Okay? And the best way to look at relationship marketing versus selling is to think of it as retaining current customers instead of looking for new ones. All right? But at the same token, those things can be put into place. And I'll give you a really simple story. One of the things that happened is I have a great masseuse, and her prices are fantastic, and I go every month to see her. But she also is a person that travels, so at least twice a year, sometimes three times a year, she'll go away for, you know, for a period of time, and so I can't get my regular monthly massage. And so I finally decided to try somebody else to be kind of my backup person. And it turned out I really, really liked him. And I was trying to get my husband to go, right? And I couldn't make it work. So finally, my husband had a day off from school, and I gave him a call, and I said, is there any way that you can get both of us in, you know, either back-to-back or, you know, something like that? So we were finally able to do that this week. As a matter of fact, we ended up doing, like, a couples massage because he brought in another masseuse to work into our schedule. And so we both got a massage. Now, here's a situation where I had talked to him. I had talked to him about a lot of things, and I liked his service. And so I brought another client into the service, all right? Now, you have to understand how big this was. My son is a massage therapist, and my husband never got a massage. And for him to come out of this massage and say, I really like this, I would do this again, right? So now, even though I'm not going to necessarily be a regular customer for him, my husband probably will be. Okay, that's relationship building, right? Because I know, like, and trust him. All right, so sales is really a transactional thing. It's really about selling an item or selling something once. Relationship is is better for services. Relationship marketing is a great alternative, but it does take a little bit, you know, it's not as straightforward and it takes a little bit more work. And relationship marketing takes a little longer to deliver results, but it can lead to much better results in the long run, you know, because people have something invested and so they will probably buy more than one time. The other thing that happens is you can do both. It isn't necessarily an either or. So, for instance, if you have a service, you know, and you do the relationship marketing, it's very possible for you to market something that's a one-time only transitional sale to somebody, or that you do something that is like at Christmas time, you have a sale and you sell gift cards or gift certificates for your service, where, you know, which is what I do with my masseuse. She has a party at Christmas time. She gives a great discount on massage gift certificates. I buy enough to, you know, at Christmas time to cover the whole year. Okay, so you can do both, right? There's not as much, you know, you don't have as much loyalty with a commodity as you do with a service. I mean, if I know that a certain brand is going to fit me or that I like it, and the product is the same, right, then I'm looking a lot of times just for cost, right? You know, is there free shipping? Is there, you know, so that's really, you know, you're looking at a commodity and you're looking at a transactional thing. But if you're looking for a repeat client or somebody who's going to buy a higher package from you, you want them to know, like, and trust you, okay? But the thing that pops up a lot for us, for all of us, that we may not, you know, that may scare us, aside from selling, is that they may have an objection. And objections can be scary things, especially if you don't know how to handle them. So we're going to talk about that. So the first part is to know that you're going to get objections. So the best thing you can do is prepare for them and just get ready. So I'm going to help you do that. So first you have to understand what an objection is, okay? An objection is merely a form of resistance that a potential client uses to determine whether or not they're going to do business with you. If you're able to, you know, overcome this resistance, you know, you'll soon find out that objections are really opportunities rather than obstacles, okay? And an enrollment objection is a way for your client to get more information from you, and one of the best ways to get more information is to ask questions, okay? So objections really are, a lot of times, are questions or a way that they're getting information from you. Objections show that the client, in fact, is interested, okay? So having said that, objections is a way to build relationships and give them information to help them solve the problem. It builds right into that know, like, and trust you. Okay. The other thing is, when you attract clients in your particular niche, this goes easier and faster because they've been attracted to you for a particular reason, and so there are not as many objections to overcome. So think about objections as opportunities. Think about the kind of objections your target market might have. And this can help you craft your services, and part of the process, you know, if you handle it as part of the process, it'll help you to handle them and not be afraid when they come up. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things, okay? So like I said, one, expect objections. Now, the good news about this is that objections will speak to your unique market, right? And if you can identify what some of these are, you can use them to update your marketing. So, for instance, if part of your niche is, you know, you've got working moms that have really terrible schedules or very little time, part of your marketing might be something like, we schedule around your other needs, or we have, you know, we're open when others aren't so that you can get your needs met, you know. So that might be something. Come in for a lunchtime, whatever, right? So that you can get it done in a short amount of time. So if you can put some of those things in your marketing, you've already eliminated some of the objections that people have before you even see them. Now, the good news is there are basically only 5 basic objections. And so you can practice them. You can figure out which one shows up in your with your clients the most, okay? And you can also ask yourself, how can I prevent this? So that, you know, you may be able to address it in your marketing so that you've addressed it before they come in. And the last thing is, it teaches you not to be defensive, like, you know, because you've expected it, you've practiced, you know what it is. All right, so here goes the first one. I can't afford it, or I don't have the money. Okay? And so this is a really common one regardless. So you want to ask, you know, what do you see as a benefit of a service like this or with working with me? Okay? You have to make sure that a lot of times if you are talking about this, that you've established the value of your services. And what I find is a lot of times money is really not the objection. It's the first thing that comes to people's mind. So I usually say, aside from the money, would this be something you'd want to do? Because if they say no to this, either they don't understand what you want or they really don't want to do it. Okay? You know, explore, you know, with them if they, for instance, if they really don't have the money or they just don't have the money for this. Okay? If they don't have the money, you know, you could brainstorm a little bit with them, you know, to figure it out. This is especially for larger packages. If it's not this, you know, then maybe they just need some support. So a lot, don't be surprised. A lot of times it's like you're asking them to put money into something for themselves, and their objection really is, how can I do this when my family needs that? Okay, so that's, you know, part of it. So the idea is that you can work with them and put together something that works with them. You know, sometimes I'll say to somebody, you know, I don't normally encourage people to put things on a charge card, but for a bigger package, I would do this because it's going to save you money in the long run. Okay? The second one is, I don't have time, or this is not a good time. And so, you know, the question is, if you had time, is this something you would do? You know, how can I help you? Okay. Another question would be, when is the right time and what has to happen to make that happen? If you're really feeling, you know, froggy and want to leap, you can say, we all have 24 hours. You know, it's how we use them that makes the difference. The healthier you are, the more energy you have, you know, or if you put time in for yourself. And you can also maybe do some special scheduling. Just like this person that I went and got this, you know, massage with and took my husband, I said, you know, do you massages on Sunday? And he said, not normally, but I will do them by appointment. And so that's something good to know. If I get myself and somebody else and whatever, a couple people together, we can, you know, put together a massage thing, right? And I have to tell you that I may be talking about massage a lot because I just finished doing a wellness class, you know, about massage. So it's on my mind. The third one is, I need to check with a third party, like a spouse or a business partner. And so you want to make sure that you, you know, keep a success mindset that, and you still see this as a potential client. And you want to ask, if it were only you, would you be ready to start working? Okay, I think that's really important because if they're not ready to start working, there's no way that they can tell their partner that they would be ready, you know, what they need to know. You can also ask, what can we do to make sure this other person totally understands us working together, right? So one of the things about that might be, I would be willing to talk to your partner too. Or what are the kinds of things that your partner would normally say? A lot of times with the spouse, it would be, you know, when I talk to my spouse, they're going to say, this is too much money. And, you know, so what kind of, you know, I kind of help them get whatever answer to work it through so they've had a chance to practice. And then I say, if they'd like to speak with me, I'd be happy to do that. Okay? The next one is, I need to think about it. All right? Now, you should know that people make decisions in different time frames, right? Some people can make decisions very quickly. Some people need time to think about it. So the question that you want is, tell me more. What information can I help you with? What do you most like about what we've discussed so far? Are you happy with, you know, what you've tried before? You know, what is the biggest outcome that you're looking for about doing this? And, you know, do you know of another way to get this? If you still haven't been able to get the person, overcome the objection at that point, you might say, let me help you with that. How much time do you need? Let's set a deadline, okay, so that, you know, we both can be very clear about what you're going to do. The other thing that happens a lot of times when you see where it says, you know, where you say the special ends at a certain time, where this is limited, you know, this is a limited offer. That's to help people make decisions that have trouble making decisions. Okay, the last one, I have to be honest, I've never actually had anybody say this to me, but it's my inner voice is telling me no, and that means that they're outside their comfort zone. You know, they may have said something like, you know, I'm not feeling it, or my gut is, you know, whatever. So the question is, for them is, you know, what other ways do you have to solve this problem or this situation? Or have you thought of another way to do it, you know? Maybe the situation is not as big or as urgent as you thought. And the question that I guess that I like a lot is, what is the cost of doing nothing? If you have a problem or a situation and you do nothing, you know, and you keep having that situation, what is the cost of that? Okay, I mean, is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it physical? And when they have that, you want to ask the tell me more question. Tell me more. After they tell you more, you want to say, well, can you tell me something more? Can you be more specific? Right? And a lot of times that has to do with they think that putting resources into this particular service is taking it away from others. So, you know, you can always add that taking care of yourself will help you to take care of others better. Okay? Now, they really have, those are objections and may not be their real reasons. Okay? And this is where you really get to step up and help to resolve what uncertainty they have. The first one is they may not know, like, and trust you yet. So, you know, you can help your clients do this with your marketing before they even come to you, you know, in your marketing. And also when you actually see them to send you something in the mail. So, for instance, if they have an appointment, if you send something out to them that says, I am excited that we're going to be getting together tomorrow. This is something that, here's some information that might help you understand the service better. Here's some testimonials that will illustrate the kinds of results that you can, you know, that we can create by working together. Okay, that's before you even get them in front of you. The other is they don't believe your service will help them. So, you know, the testimonials, again, you can give specific examples. You could outline the plan and how it's going to help them. The third one is they don't really know what they want, and if they do, they're not really committed enough to getting what they want. And that, again, is about helping the client step out of their comfort zone and making a clear commitment. Can you make a clear commitment to do this for 3 months, right? And then we can, you know, check again, okay? And a lot of that has to do with one other, that they don't really believe in themselves enough. And so it's really important for you to be able to help them acknowledge that the results that they're going to get is going to help transform them. So the next step is to transform objections into opportunities. You know, because when they have an objection, this is a sign that they have interest. So you want to make sure to be open to questions and concerns and say things like, I'm glad you asked. Tell me more about that. You want to acknowledge their concerns. You know, a real old-fashioned thing is feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. I felt that way, too. This is what I found. Okay? You know, and be very authentic. I mean, don't just make something up. It's got to be something that you feel that's true. You know, so for me, you know, going back to the massage thing, I kind of felt that getting a massage was kind of a luxury. You know, I know how you feel. I felt that getting a massage was a luxury. But what I found was that it helped my performance both physically and mentally by doing it. And as I got older, it's no longer a luxury. It's more of a maintenance and necessity, okay? The same thing with coaching or any other service that you get. Dig deeper, okay? So the first thing somebody tells you is usually not the thing that really bothers them the most, all right? So you need to dig deeper. So I always say, aside from whatever their main objection is, so aside from money, do you have any other concerns? And when they give you that concern and you talk about it, you go, aside from that, do you have any other concerns? you don't necessarily solve the money concern first, because if there are other things underneath, and a lot of times the things that are underneath deal with credibility. When I was in the tax business, people would come back and they'd say, "I want my money back. I don't think this tax return is right, and it costs too much." And I'd say, you know, aside from the cost, do you think it was an accurate tax return? And a lot of times they would say things like, "Well, I don't know." I mean, the person had to get up and ask lots of questions. They didn't seem to, you know, ask me a lot of questions. And so the real issue was not the money. The real issue was that they didn't have confidence in the person that did the tax return. So that's something to remember. I mean, in terms of customer service, when you get to that, I would say I would be happy to give you your money back. But more importantly, I would like somebody else to go over your tax return to make sure that it is correct. Okay, so that you can feel confident in that. And then I'd like to give you a gift certificate so you'll come back next year. Okay, so dig deeper and get to the real concern, because if you don't solve that, right, then you're not going to, you know, you're not going to really be able to overcome their objections. Okay, and the last one is whenever everything else has failed, right, I always ask, would you use it if it were free? Okay. If no, then you probably don't have a client, because if they wouldn't use it if it was free, then they probably don't see the benefit in the service. But you should persist anyway, you know, and say, "Well, tell me more about that," right? The other thing that you have to be careful about is that, you know, you're not hammering a person or really pushing them in the corner. You know, and so at some point you have to say, "Would you like me to let you go, or would you like to talk about this more? You know, I want you to feel comfortable. If there's some things that I can solve for you, I would be happy to spend the time doing that." So you want to say, you know, in terms of dealing with objections, your best questions, I think, are, "Tell me more. Can you be more specific? I want to make sure I've addressed your concern. And aside from this, is there any other concern you have?" So hopefully, you know, you've covered as many of their objections as you possibly can in your marketing before, you know, you even get to the client enrollment part. And if you've done that, I mean, I would say take the objection that you get the most and work on that one, okay, because that's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck. So know that you're going to have objections. Know that you can practice them and get better at them. Know that you can address them in your marketing. Okay, so that leads us to the third step, which is the new client enrollment, which for many people is kind of, they see that as the first step. But as you can see, you've actually got two steps before that. And if you do those steps, it's going to make it easier for you to enroll clients. So, you know, having a process or a system gives you a way to evaluate what you're doing. So it's not hit or miss. You know, it keeps you on track. You can see if you miss a step, how it, you know, it affects you. You can improve what you're doing. You can see what kind of objections come up that you can address in your marketing. So I have a kind of a checklist of things that you can do in terms of the enrollment, and it's really seven steps, okay? So the first step is to create pre-consultation credibility, okay? So you want to express credibility in your marketing. You know, show that you're an expert in your niche. You know, so that is, you know, if you're sending out web posts or blogs, if you're getting quoted in something, if you are giving information, okay? You want to make sure that you create a know, like, and trust process, so that it's emails or handouts. One of the things I think that people don't do very often is information for the session, building, a client up and letting them know there are bigger packages. You know, they have some research, you know, they've probably done some research on either you or, you know, the thing that they're looking for. But you want to make sure that you show that you care. Now, one of the things that I like to do is if I'm going to have a consultation with somebody, I usually send them an email that says, you know, "I'm looking forward to it. I would like you to take a minute to think about these three questions, because I think that it will make our session a lot more productive. And I've also included an article about why, you know, the benefits of coaching. So I've established, given them some information at the beginning before I even see them, all right? The next thing is that it's, step two is to establish connection. You have to establish rapport. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, all right? So you want to talk to them. You want to connect with them with their interests and their reasons. You know, so that would be knowing something a little bit about, you know, if you have them fill out an information sheet, you know if they have kids, you know if they're working two jobs, you know something about them so that you can, you know, really focus on some of the other things that impact what they are, what they're doing. You want to set the agenda. You want to set the tone. You want to know, let the client know what to expect, and it puts you in a position of being the expert again. So, for instance, you know, one of the things you say is, this is what, you know, this is going to be about a 40-minute call, and this is what we're going to cover, you know, A, B, C, D. And so you also want to be honest and transparent and upfront. One of the things you're going to say at the end, we're going to ask the question, you know, can we work together and what would we accomplish? You may say something like, I only work with people, blank, that are committed to follow through and ready to make health a major priority. I only work with people who want to get things done now, who are willing to get started right away. You have to make the need clear for them. So the first thing you have to do is establish the gap. Establish their need and their why, right? So one way I heard a person say this is, you say, this is, you present it as the ideal island where everything is running exactly the way they want it to. And then, you know, when you finish, you want a business that does such and such. You want to be able to do such and such. You want to be able to walk without being out of breath. You want your business to bring in this amount of money. And you paint an exciting picture of what their life would be with your service. Can you imagine if your business were to double? What are some of the things you could do for yourself, for your business, for your family? Can you imagine the services that you could offer your clients? You'd be able to move into a different location that was bigger. You'd be able to bring in more support staff, all these different things. So you want to ask about their why. And I call it, you know, it's the five ifs. If you were able to do this, what would be different? And if you were able to do that, what would be different? And if you were able to do that, what would be different? And you keep going, okay? And usually what happens at the end is something about, you know, well, my life would be great, okay? So now that you've established that, you know, that their life would be great if they did this, you know, the question is, you know, where do you think you are? Are you there now? And obviously they're not there now. So your next step is to close that gap. You know, you've created the desire, right? And so now you have to have them, you know, take a look at how they're going to get from where they are and where they want to be. And if you do this right, the obvious answer is going to be they're going to use your service, okay? You can use testimonials again. I've had people who said, you know, I never thought I would get to this place in my life, and I did it much quicker than I thought. Or, this was, like, really amazing. Or, when I was in a difficult situation, because we had practiced it, I knew exactly what to do. And so you want to use the testimonials to help close the gap, but you want them, the main thing is to make them aware that there is a gap, right? So that they know that they're not where they want to be, and you've created the desire for them to want that, all right? So next you need to transform their objections into opportunities, you know. And that's why we spent so much time on objections before, because you're going to hit objections in like three different places. You're going to answer objections in your marketing before they get there. You're going to take a look at the objections objectively, so that you know how to, the ones that are coming up the most for you in your practice and how you want to handle them, right? So we spent a lot of time on, but this step can't be missed. You need to be open to questions and concerns. I'm glad you asked. You know, use the feel, felt, found. Dig deeper. Aside from this, do you have any other concerns? Would you do this if it were free? All right, so we spent quite a bit of time on that, so I think you have an idea of that, all right? And the last one is celebrate and get started with the client. I think it's really important that, you know, because people sometimes have buyer's remorse if they're kind of like left in limbo, so it's important for you to say something or show that you're excited to, you know, support them to achieve their goals. You want to overcome any fear or doubt that they've had. And you want to make sure they understand how they're going to get started. So this is how we get started. Here are some steps and some cautions. So you might say to them, don't be surprised if when you tell somebody you're going to do this, that they've either had a bad experience or they've had, you know, they would say, I think you're foolish or I would never do this. And the only thing that I can say to you is, this is your life. They're not going to pay your bills. They're not going to be there to pick up the pieces when you know, when things don't work. This is a decision, this is a choice you're making to make your life better, okay? And, you know, the other thing might be, I want you to try this right away. All right, and see what happens. So let me give you just a little bit of an example very quickly. And again, I just told you, I just went through this wellness thing. So, you know, there are a couple of this that I think is really easy. But I just remember I went to an acupuncturist, which, you know, I'd seen the pictures, I'd read the reviews and stuff, but really did not know what was going on. All right, and I'm like the Groupon queen. I like to try different things, and if I can find a Groupon and it's close by or whatever, I'll do it. So, you know, part of the thing was, you know, to find out some credibility about the particular service. And when I made an appointment, you know, she emailed me back and said, you know, I'm glad that you came. You know, come a couple minutes earlier, you know, before, you know, so we can fill out some paperwork, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so she kind of established a connection. It wasn't, at that point, a warm connection. You know, when I got there, she said, this is kind of what you can expect. And we started talking, and so she started kind of filling in, you know, some of the rapport. Now, I was already there as a customer, so there wasn't a need necessarily to establish the gap, but there was a need to kind of give me what the expectations were going to be, okay? And probably the thing that was most exciting, you know, was afterwards. You know, we talked about all kinds of things. She talked to me about some supplements that she thought might work. She told me what I could expect in the next 24 to 48 hours. And then she called me up, okay? I thought that was wonderful. I had never had anybody do that before, that I had either had a massage or had something where they called me up afterwards to see how I felt. So I was very, very happy with that, and it really established the relationship, okay? So I think that that's one of the ways that you can do that. If you're, you know, and I jokingly say when you go to get a massage, It's nice for somebody to sit and talk to you a little bit before you take your clothes off, you know, and that's just me. Okay, let's keep going. I think that you can get big results in this area by just making a few changes, okay? One is that you need to create some urgency for yourself, that you can't wait for clients just to walk up to you. You need to go out and find them and make those opportunities. And we talked about that the last time, about making opportunities. So you should take a look at all three of these segments, whether it is the relationship marketing, whether it is overcoming objections, whether it's the client enrollment process, and pick something that you could do differently, okay, to improve what you're already doing. All right. In terms of the relationship marketing, you may already have material that you can break down into some blogs or break down into an email blast. You may have some material that you can, when somebody's going to come see you, that you can send them as a little piece of information to kind of get them to see you as, you know, more of an expert in your area. Again, overcoming objections, you probably have some things that have worked for you before. Make sure you practice them. See which of the main five objections you get the most, okay, so that you can, you know, be ready for that and you can practice it. In terms of your homework, probably the most important thing is, you know, the speed of implementation. Do something today. I mean, the third quarter is starting soon. Don't put it off. Take a look at the very next time something happens. Try it on somebody. Practice it. Make it your own. Change it so it's your style. Because the faster you use it, the more likely you'll keep using and the more success you have. And then, you know, the confidence loop, the more you do the thing, the better you are, more confident you are. So this is a piece that has to do with managing your mind, okay? You want to make sure that you are comfortable in terms of enrolling people. And in terms of, like, the last thing, you know, that I want to talk to you about, and part of this is, you know, your mind thing, is have an assumptive frame of mind. You know, I can help them and they need my help. So you go into it with the idea of, why wouldn't somebody want what I have to offer? Why wouldn't they want what I have to offer? I just have to find out, I just have to help them with that. And that doesn't mean to pressure them. That just means to make sure that you've answered their question. And the other thing is, I think in terms of relationship marketing, it makes it very easy to go back to people that maybe you haven't enrolled before, that you know, have tried but didn't enroll. And now that it's, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, I think I'm going to come up with an email that says, you know, I'll go back to the people that I've talked to and say, I was thinking about you, I saw this article, or I was thinking about you, how are you doing, has anything changed, you know, would you like to talk? And I think that you can do that. That shows that you do care, all right, that it is possible to get back to people. And I do that on a regular basis. I'll send people, you know, if I see something, an article that reminds me of them, that kind of thing. And know that relationship marketing takes a while. I mean, it isn't instantly, right? But it can be the kind of thing that is going to help you to keep your clients longer, right? So, you want to remember relationship marketing, you know, and sometimes, you know, the direct sales approach is still a good thing. You want to overcome objections and look at them as opportunities to help you build your business. And then you want to have a process for enrolling new clients. And if you put all those things together and if you can just find one thing in each area that you can improve, I think you're going to see some results. So as I always say, this is information. You know, the real question is, how are you going to use what you learned? And there's more than one way to move forward. And I purposely make my show less than, you know, 60 minutes, I make it about 50 minutes long. So you have 10 minutes to write down some action plans and ask yourself, how much effort are you willing to put into this? And I think that it's important in this particular thing that, like I said, I think it's one of those situations where you're going to be making some tweaks, right? And you don't have to make wholesale changes. You've already got some marketing material, so it may be just a matter of changing, you know, a couple words or adding another sentence. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be those big things. But when you hit that sweet spot, you'll know it because the amount of success that you get is going to increase. For those of you who don't know, I just finished putting together a product, an 18-week product called the Wellness Professional Success Blueprint. It's about the business side of doing a wellness business, but many of the tips are tips that anybody that are putting a business together, and we just got a testimonial that said, from somebody that said, I just used what was given in one module and got three new clients. So I just really want to encourage you that, one, small changes can make huge results in your business, but you have to do them, and you have to do them right away and not just wait. The second thing is being willing to evaluate your process is so important because otherwise you don't know what you're doing well. If you don't have a process, if you don't have a checklist, you don't know what step is that you're missing that is causing you problems, right? Because in this process, you have to be a little bit objective. especially if you're selling a service and it feels like you're, you know, you're selling yourself. So the rejection kind of feels personal. So anyway, so you've got a few minutes to write things down. How much effort are you willing to put into this? And so, you know, that's my challenge to you, is to take this next 10 minutes and put down a plan, figure out, you know, who you're going to contact, how you're going to change something to get better results. Okay, so having said that, I was really happy to share this with you because it made a huge difference for me when I learned how to overcome objectives, when I learned that I could get rid of a lot of them by putting them in my marketing to begin with and have more of a relationship kind of marketing than, you know, just a sales kind of approach. And by having a checklist that I can say, did I do this, did I do this, did I do this, it has really helped me to, you know, up my game, and I'm hoping that it'll do the same thing for you too. So I'm glad you came. I hope that you got at least one good thing that you can use right away, because that's the purpose. And I hope your dreams are going to turn into goals, your goals are going to turn into plans, and your plans are going to turn into specific actions. And my question is, you know, be willing to invest in yourself long term, you know, promote your professional and personal integrity. Do something different. What did you learn that's going to help you? And how are you going to make the rest of 2015 a huge success? So from I'm Ready For Me and Yvonne McCoy, remember to be empowered, design your life for ease, and have a formula that works with and for you. And, you know, I am ready for me to be healthy, wealthy, and alive. I'm ecstatic. If you haven't done it yet, you should go to my website, YvonneMcCoy.com, and download the I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model. I think you'll be really happy with the kind of things that you discover about what you want in your life. Okay, till next time. Bye.